The Claude 3 model family by Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. Haiku is lightning fast and cost effective, Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed, and Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Learn more at anthropic.com/Claude.
Israel withdraws troops from southern Gaza to prepare for a next, potentially larger, offensive. Plus, Elon Musk vows to fight Brazil's Supreme Court in a free speech showdown. And with swaths of North America set for a total solar eclipse today, beware the traffic.
People say to double your estimated driving time. It's really tough to predict exactly how bad it will be later today. But if you can, stop somewhere, stay overnight. And if not, wait it out a few hours before you hit the road.
It's Monday, April 8th. I'm Luke Vargas for The Wall Street Journal. And here is the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. We begin in Gaza, where Israel says it has withdrawn its troops from the southern city of Khan Yunis after several months of military operations there. That means that Israel has now largely pulled back soldiers from populated areas in Gaza, though Journal correspondent Dov Lieber told us that doesn't mean an end of fighting.
The defense minister said it's to allow troops to recuperate and to prepare for an operation in Rafah, the city in southern Gaza that borders Egypt, where over a million Gazans are currently sheltering. This is a battle Israel says it needs to finish off the war, but you can read this in another way as well. And that is that it's connected to very high-level negotiations right now currently happening in Cairo between Israel and Hamas, mediated by CIA Director William Burns, and as well as Egyptian and Qatari officials who are mediating this, a deal that would release at least some of the hostages being kept in Gaza and get a ceasefire, at least a temporary ceasefire that will allow for a major operation inside Gaza to improve the humanitarian situation there, which is very dire.
And there are suggestions that Israel is facing immense pressure from the U.S. right now to alleviate the situation in Gaza, resulting in the Israeli military allowing more than 300 aid trucks into the enclave yesterday. Elon Musk is at the center of a tense showdown over free speech in Brazil after vowing to fight an order by the country's Supreme Court to remove several accounts on social media platform X and calling for the removal of one of its most powerful judges. X had initially complied with a court order to restrict accounts deemed to be propagating hate speech and false information. However, in a series of weekend posts on X, Musk said he would lift those restrictions and face a loss of revenue in Brazil or being potentially shut out of the country if it came to that. X declined to comment on whether said accounts had already been unblocked, while Brazil's Supreme Court didn't reply to requests for comment. South Carolina topped Iowa last night to capture the NCAA women's basketball title. That caps an undefeated season for South Carolina and concludes a tournament that hit several viewership milestones, with earlier matchups becoming the most-watched college basketball game ever on ESPN's platforms and the second-highest audience for any basketball game on ESPN since 2012. Taiwanese chip-making giant TSMC is set to receive up to $6.6 billion from the U.S. government for a factory complex being built in Arizona, with American officials saying the company will invest more than $65 billion at the manufacturing site and add a third chip factory. It marks the third major award to be granted under the Bipartisan CHIPS Act as the U.S. strives to regrow its domestic semiconductor industry. Journal Markets reporter Katie Barnato has more.
So the Commerce Department has described TSMC's Arizona project as the largest foreign direct investment in a new project in all of U.S. history. It says that these sort of projects like TSMC's mean that the U.S. is on track to make about one-fifth of the world's cutting-edge chips by 2030. So it's clear that Washington really sees this as a top priority. Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo said it's a national security problem that the U.S. doesn't currently manufacture these type of top-end chips.
And Katie, it sounds like Washington isn't alone in taking this approach.
Yes. So yesterday, Canada said it was going to spend nearly $2 billion to fuel its own AI sector. The investment is a bit different. The focus is on building data centers and servers and making sure Canada has the computing power to conduct its own AI research. But it is still reflective of a hope that AI will help draw foreign investment into Canada. And that aspect does make it pretty similar to the US.
And as earnings ramp up in earnest this week, the season is set to show investors whether corporate profits are backing up the market rally. The S&P 500 has increased 9.1% year-to-date and is trading near all-time highs, just clinching its best first-quarter performance since 2019. WSJ Markets reporter Hannah Miao says the high expectations come from an economy that continues to run strong.
We are seeing employers continuing to hire. Unemployment is fairly low. Inflation seems relatively under control, and consumers keep spending. So that all should reflect in these companies' profits and other quarterly results. Of course, some economists are concerned that consumers are burning through their savings and they're still stretched by higher costs. So we're still monitoring what these quarterly results say about the state of the US economy. So it's an important time to assess what the underlying value of these companies is and how that can play into how investors are viewing the stock market.
Coming up, that drone above your house, it might be your insurer. We'll look at the surprising new lengths insurance companies are going to monitor your property and de-risk their portfolios after the break.
The Claude 3 model family from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point on the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Haiku is the fastest and lowest-cost model on the market, perfectly designed for high-volume, high-speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who trust Anthropic to keep them at the frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude today.
Insurance companies are getting sleuthy. Instead of just taking your word about the state of your property, they are increasingly seeking out aerial imagery to arrive at their own assessment. And if and when they spot red flags from the sky, they're dishing out an increasing number of non-renewal notices to homeowners nationwide. Journal reporter Jean Eaglesham covers the insurance industry for us. Jean, I have to imagine going back quite a ways, the insurance industry has always needed some way to inspect properties. They're not just letting you self-report everything. And yet I gather that a pretty substantial shift is underway now in terms of how inspections are getting done.
Yeah, that's right, Luke. They've always had the right to inspect your property, and you agree to that when you apply for home insurance, and that's perfectly reasonable. What they used to do was just inspect a sample of them, typically someone driving by in a car or even sending around a guy with a ladder. What's happening now, and it's very widespread, is they're using planes and drones and satellites to take aerial images. And it's right across the country. So one of the biggest of these operations covers 99% of properties in the US, and they're photographing them regularly. So it's a big shift in how monitoring and keeping tabs on properties.
All right, I mean, a huge amount of data being pulled in there. What happens to that data?
Yeah, that's the other big change, is that insurers are increasingly using computer modeling and trained artificial intelligence models to look for red flags. So they're looking for underwriting no-nos, things like damage to your roof, a lot of debris in your yard, tree branches overhanging the roof, or even a swimming pool or trampoline you haven't declared. There's scores of these things that they look for, and the computers will flag any property where there's been changes or where they're seeing these kind of warning signs.
All right, so the insurance company, let's say, spots one of these warning signs. What happens then? Are you just out of luck? Your insurance is canceled, or are you told to pay up or something else?
It depends a lot on the insurer. What they all say is they generally have people review these ones that are flagged by computers. They will then either give you a chance to remedy it. So they might say, okay, cut that tree down, clear that vegetation, you've got 30 days, 60 days. Or in some cases, they just say, that's it, you're out, we're not renewing. What we are seeing across the industry now is tens and tens of thousands of non-renewals. And the reason is that these insurers, they've had big underwriting losses on home insurance, partly due to catastrophes, partly to high inflation, and they're really trying to clear out the high-risk properties. And this kind of aerial surveillance, where they can see small problems, that's a good lever for them to get rid of houses they no longer want to insure.
And Jean, they told you this is completely within their right to do.
Yeah, they not only say it's within their right to do and perfectly reasonable thing to do, they're just checking that you're meeting their underwriting guidelines, they say, but they also actually say, hey, this is actually good for a lot of consumers, because if your roof's in good condition, why should you be paying the same rate as someone where the roof's going to come off in the next hailstorm? It allows them to set a fairer price. And why should people who are good risks be subsidizing those who aren't?
And yet from your reporting, it doesn't sound like everyone's going along with that narrative.
No, certainly consumer advocates and some others are really concerned about this, partly because they say there are no real rules to ensure that you do have a right to challenge it if we're reporting concerns that sometimes these images are out of date or inaccurate. For example, one insurance agent told us that they'd seen examples where what appeared to be tree branches to the insurer were actually shadows in the photograph. So do consumers have the right to challenge it? Do you have a fair amount of time to respond to their concerns? And also, what about the issue about people who feel this is an intrusion, that their pictures from drones of their yard, they feel that is an intrusion on their privacy, and there's really no protection for them?
I've been speaking to The Wall Street Journal's Jean Eaglesham, who covers the insurance industry for us. Jean, thanks as always.
My pleasure.
And finally, it's time for a What's News traffic and weather report. That's because today, millions of people across North America are set to take in the first total solar eclipse to pass over the U.S. since 2017. Eclipse chasers are already anxiously monitoring cloud coverage to make sure they've got a clear view of the skies. But as Journal travel reporter Allison Poley told me, they'd be smart to also keep an eye out for traffic.
The path of totality stretches from Texas to Maine, and 150 million people live within a 200-mile driving distance of this path of totality. There's really no precedent for the number of cars that will be on the road, and it's tough to predict because it depends on the cloud cover down to the minute that totality is occurring. People could be making last-minute adjustments to where they ultimately view the eclipse, which can be pretty disruptive, especially after totality when everyone tries to leave at the exact same time. I spoke to one person named Russ Miller who spent 16 hours in traffic after the 2017 eclipse, going from Oregon to Northern California. This year, he's booked a campsite for the eclipse and is staying overnight, so there's no post-totality driving required.
And if you are lucky enough to witness today's celestial spectacle, just make sure to have your eclipse glasses handy. And that's What's News for Monday morning. Today's show was produced by Kate Bullivant and Daniel Bach. Our supervising producer is Sandra Kilhoff, and I'm Luke Vargas for The Wall Street Journal. We will be back tonight with a new show. And until then, thanks for listening.
The Claude 3 model family by Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. Haiku is lightning fast and cost effective. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Learn more at anthropic.com/Claude.